Blog Talk Radio.
Special guest today, Mr. Chris Walker, setting the mood for us here on Solar Records Radio. What's up, everybody? How you doing? This is Wardell Potts Jr. I want to thank you for tuning in today, Solar Records, as we celebrate our indie blues and all that jazz artists here on Solar Records Radio every Wednesday. And, you know, y'all know I'm a jazz drummer, right? Y'all know that's where I came from, at least, so when it comes down to jazz, I'm super, super in love with the musicianship that comes from that art. As a matter of fact, I'm so excited. You know, we have our brother coming on today, Mr. Walker. Chris, I gotta say, you know, he has a skill, he has a gift, he has a blessing that really, really is amazing. And I just love his work. I love, you know, his skills. I love what God has given him. And so he's going to come on and share his story with us today. Before we do that, I'm going to bring my co-host in, Mr. Don Fleming. What's up, Don? How you doing, bro?
Hey, Wardell. What's happening, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good, good. And so I know that, you know, you really admire this brother that we get ready to bring on shortly. Just tell me what's going on, man. What are your thoughts about Chris?
Man, a very talented brother. You know, I was 17 when the first time album came out, and I played that tape. Yes, tape, cassette tape. I mean, from front to back, man. I love his music. The song you just played was a nice little slow jam of mine that I got, you know, at the Sadie Hawkins dance. But that's another story down the road. But no, man, it's a talented brother, and we gotta definitely chop it up with him today and see what it's been up to.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know what? Without any further ado, how about we just bring him on in, man? Because he's you know, normally I would go through another song, but you know, the anticipation of, you know, chopping up with him has just been great, and the listeners are the same way. They're excited as well. So let's bring him on in right now. Chris, are you there, my brother?
What's happening, my brothers?
Yeah.
Wardell and Don, how y'all doing, man?
We are good. We are good, brother. How you been?
Man, I'm doing great. Any better, man? Look here, it's scary if it can get any better than this.
Man, it is so, I mean, I was like, I remember emailing him and I was texting. I was like, so I'm not sure where you are in the world, but you know, the show is going to start at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So wherever you are, you know, you can go off of that. And come to find out, this brother's only 2 hours from me. So I'm like, what? You're right next to me? That is crazy, man. So, but anyway, Chris, man, thank you. Welcome to the show, man, Solar Records Radio. And I want to give a shout out to Greg for setting this up for all of us so that we could actually have this moment with you and chop it up with you. So with that being said, Chris, welcome to the show. And we would like for you to just share with us just a little bit, man, about who you are, you know, how you became Chris Walker, the artist. And Don was only 17 years old when he heard your stuff.
Jeez.
I had no idea. I had no idea, man. You've been doing this that long. And so, yeah, because Don...
And he's a young brother, too. He's still young. All y'all still young, man.
Yeah. And Don's in
started
his 40s,
very young,
man.
Right?
And Don's in his 40s, so yeah, so he's been a fan of yours for quite a while. So why don't you just kind of tell us how it all came together for you?
Well, I grew up in Houston, Texas. We had a family gospel group called the Walker Brothers with my father and
mm-hmm.
my brothers. And, you know, basically grew up singing quartet gospel music. And from there, I graduated from the high school for the performing and visual arts. And when I was 18... And I filled out an application to attend the New School for Jazz Contemporary Music in New York City, and they told me not to come because I couldn't afford the tuition. Well, I walked into my parents' kitchen with my bags packed. School was already a month in progress, and I said, I'm leaving. And they were like, where are you going? I said, I'm moving to New York City. I had a bass amp, sold it for $240, bought a one-way ticket with $200. So I landed in New York with $40 and a dream.
Wow.
Long story short, I go down to the school the very next day just to check it out. As soon as I walked in, I heard music coming out of the auditorium. I poked my head in. Some guys are on stage playing. Just so happened they didn't have a bass player. So they invited me up to play. The dean of the school walked in and the instructor over the program and gave me a full scholarship to go to school. And that's how my whole New York experience started.
Oh, wow. So you, did you start out as a bass player?
I did. Actually, I started singing and playing the bass roughly around the same time. In our gospel group, the bass player stopped showing up, and I was probably around 8 or 9 years old at the time, and my father put the bass in my hand upside down, like Jimi Hendrix plays the guitar. I play upside down, left-handed. And that's how I started playing the bass. I was playing drums before that as well. So, yeah. So, and when I moved to New York, I was basically pursuing a career as a bass player, jazz bassist, when I first arrived.
Oh, see, just like me. Jazz man.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
And so what year was that?
That was 1986.
Okay.
1986. And the first gig I actually landed in New York City was with Ornette Coleman. And then I was basically playing with Ornette Coleman and Regina Bell. I became her musical director, and I was working with them both at the same time. So I was doing R&B with Regina and doing, of course, avant-garde, straight-ahead jazz stuff with Ornette Coleman.
Wow, dude. I mean, we are kind of connected, dude. We're connected more in more ways than you even know, Chris. First of all, I just got a question from overseas about your relationship with my friend Doug Grisby.
Oh, man, Doug.
That was your friend?
Doug, man, Doug actually played bass with me when I first came out as a solo artist. But prior to that, Doug was involved with in my first project, my record project, first time, as a programmer. And I actually played bass on all of the songs except for one on my first project. And Doug played on First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. And he did such an awesome job, I said, I don't need to go back and do anything on it. But Doug was a dear, dear friend, man, and an incredible producer, songwriter, and musician, man. Just an all-around
How did you meet Doug? I mean, he's out of Philly, and you're from Texas. How did y'all hook up?
Well, Nick Martinelli produced 5 songs on my first project, and he would use Doug and a lot of guys from Philly in Miami. So, and of course, when I got to Miami and realized I was working with Doug and Randy Bolin and Daryl Burgey and a lot of the guys that I already knew, man, we would just have, it was like a party. We were just having so much fun, laughing every day, and the music, you know, took care of itself. But that's when I actually officially worked and met Doug, was in Miami.
Okay, you keep on saying stuff, man, and it's just like kicking my butt. So listen. I got to say that Nick Martinelli produced my first, well, not my first hit, but one of my songs, and it was Regina Bell's first hit, which was Show Me the Way.
Get out of here. you wrote Show Me?
Yes.
Man, I wrote Show Me the
Way. Yes. And Nick Martinelli, I went to Philadelphia because, you know, I've been in Cali all my, you know, since 79. So I went out there to Philly to talk to Nick and met him. I went down to the studio and stuff, and some of the guys were in there, and they were, you know, getting ready to record my song and stuff. And so I just, you know, wanted to thank him, and he wanted to meet me and stuff. And so we had a really nice conversation. I don't even know if you were there then, but I, you know, you could have been there. But the fact that, you know, he produced Regina Bell and he produced you too. Which one came first? He produced you first or did he produce her first?
He produced Regina first, and because I was a musical director, and they brought me in to play bass and sing background on some songs. And when, of course, when I landed my solo deal, I, after, you know, hearing what Nick had done with Regina, I said, well, I want Nick Martinelli to produce mine as well. And it's crazy because at first the record company told me that I couldn't be there during the session when he was putting everything together. And I said, well, you know, I wrote the songs. I mean, I said, I won't get in his way. I'll just be like a fly on the wall. And they eventually, you know, agreed to allow me to go. And we hit it off, I mean, you know, like we had known each other forever. And, of course, once I realized all the musicians that were on the project, I was just like, man, I'm in heaven.
Wow. Amazing. Don?
Well, you know, I wanted to add and kind of go back a little bit because, your story to me is the American story. Is, you know, people say, well, it's cliche, but the fact that you just decided up on a whim to go to New York City and have, you know, a few dollars in your pocket, well, 200, and just, excuse me, follow your dream was just amazing. I wanted to just know, working with someone like, and me being an amateur saxophonist myself, working with someone mm-hmm. like Ornette Coleman, of course, rest in peace to that brother. What was it like, you know, meeting him and working with him?
Man, that was probably one of the best experiences in my life. And a quick story, when I was in 11th grade in high school, it was a class assignment for us to attend this concert and mm-hmm. write a paper. In concert was Michelle Petrucciani and Ornette Coleman.
So
I'm sitting there, and of course I understood what Michelle Petrucciani was doing. Anthony Jackson was actually on bass at the time. So Ornette Coleman comes out, and he opens up his show with a song called Song X. I didn't know it then, but of course I know it now. And mm-hmm. I go to school the next day, and I asked my teacher, well, what was he doing? My teacher couldn't explain it. He said, I don't know. You know, so I said, I made a decision in 11th grade that I could never play with somebody like Ornette Coleman because I couldn't understand what he was doing. Well, when I moved to New York, the first two people I record with is Michelle Petrucciani and Ornette Coleman. And Ornette, he called me one day out of the blue, and he said, I'm looking for Chris Walker. And I said, well, this is he.
Wow.
He said, I was wondering if you would be interested in, you know, taking Jamal Latine's Takuma's place in my band called Primetime. And I was so scared. I said yes. And, you know, I meet with him one-on-one, and we start rehearsing, and we both hit it off, man. And I'm telling you, I've never met anybody more patient with a kind mm-hmm. spirit than Ornette Coleman. And I think Ornette, Al Jarreau, and I all have the same birthdays in the same month. We're all Pisces, and we're all spirits. And I actually lived with Ornette for about a year, man. And he took me under his wing, man, and just – he really opened my mind, you know, and regarding the bass and just life and as a man, you know.
Wow, you must be pretty serious. Siri, you must really play that bass to replace my friend on bass, because that boy was something else.
He's a beast.
Yeah, see, and I know him by his first name, not his new name, that name that you keep saying. I won't even say his first name, but his because, you know, out of respect for him, he has, like Muhammad
right.
Ali is like, do not call me, you know, that other
right.
name. I'm so
right.
out of respect for him and his religion, you know, you want to stay there. But anyway, because I grew up with, you know, I'm from Philly. So I grew up with all these
right.
guys. I hear you saying all these names. I'm like, what is going on here? So you were into progressive jazz, like Return to Forever and all that stuff as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, wow. I was when I lived in New York, I was trying to get a record deal as a jazz bass, as a bass player, not as a vocalist, until I ran into Marcus Miller. He was in the studio. We were both in the studio. He was in a different one working on a Sanborn record. And I asked him, I said, hey, you know, I'm trying to get in on the scene. You know, you got any advice for a young brother? And Marcus
mm-hmm.
said, hey, man, if I were you, I would sing first. I would put out a vocal record. And because they won't accept you as a singer if you come out as a bass player first. So I took his advice. And so that's when I started pursuing a career as a vocalist. And I got my opportunity when I started working with Regina Bell. She did a song called mm-hmm. All I Wanted Forever from the movie Task with James J.T. Taylor. And
mm-hmm.
she wanted to perform it live. And James was never available and very difficult to get him. So she came to me and said, why don't you sing this song with me as a duet? Because I had given her a demo. And so she heard my voice. And I was really shy back then. And I said, no, you know, that's okay. Because I was 19 at the time.
Right.
And she said,
he said,
the beginning of the song. Let me just hear a little bit. So I sang the first three lines of the song, man. She stopped me and said, you're doing it. So I started singing this song with her on the show. And people started
mm-hmm.
coming up to me saying, hey, man, when is your record coming out? You have a great voice. So that's when I started pursuing getting a record deal as a vocalist.
Wow.
That is just amazing to me. That's just amazing to me because, you know, people always talk about, you know, drummers, you know, that whole shtick with drummers becoming singers. You hear with the Jeffrey Osbournes and the Morris Days and all. I mean, what made it so different with bass? Because if I'm not mistaken, Marcus Miller did a couple of songs he did where he sang, you know. And what was that whole, behind that whole mystique that bass players couldn't really, you know, come to the front? They have to sing first and instead of playing the bass. Well, I mean, who made those rules up, really? You know?
Well, you know, this is true. But, you know, it's like, I guess people seeing you with an instrument in your hand, and I probably, maybe I should have started with the bass and did both. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the record company at that time in the 90s, as you very well know, it was, you know, that, you know, you didn't see many bass players, singing bass players. You didn't see many of them. It was, you know, they wanted me to focus on being like a heartthrob R&B guy,
right.
You know?
Right.
That's true. And also Stokely from Men Condition also was a drummer. So, and you see his voice is blowing up the way it is. But go ahead, Wardell. I'm sorry.
Right.
No, it's okay. By the way, Chris, just so you know, we have like a 5-second delay, so we stepped on each other's toes. We apologize. can you tell people who Marcus Miller is that we keep mentioning his name?
Man, if they don't know Marcus Miller, one of the world-renowned bassists, and I won't put him in a category because he played with everybody. I mean, and he's written and produced for everybody from the spectrum of a Miles Davis to a Luther Vandross, for example.
Wow.
So, and trust me, I'm sure Marcus checks are long. Royalty checks, I'm sure. From all the stuff he's done, man. But he's just an incredible brother, incredible player, gifted producer, songwriter. I mean, you know, he's truly definitely one of the best on the planet.
Yeah. And so, Don, just to kind of answer your question, my thought, you know, in regards to who made that rule, about bass players not singing and all this stuff. I think it was probably an experience of his own. He's something that, you know, usually, you know, people like what he experienced, not necessarily is it a rule, but just in his time being out there and doing what he's doing. Yeah, I think it was just something that
I get it. It was just always kind of an anomaly to me because I think about someone like Joyce Irby, Cinderella, you know, being a bass player for Climax, you know, singing arguably one of the greatest songs in their catalog, you know, in Climax's catalog, I Miss You.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know, it's just who that individual is and the powers that be that are around them that gives him or her, you know, that type of advice. But it always just dawned on me, that's all.
Okay.
And now, you know what's funny?
Go ahead, Chris.
So I was going to say what's funny because in New York, you know, I pretty much cemented myself as a jazz bassist. I mean, working with Jimmy Heath, I was playing bass with the Gil Evans Orchestra down in the Village with Hiram Bullock on guitar, Kenwood Denard on drums. I mean, it was crazy. And when I came out as an R&B singer, all of my jazz guys, my buddies, knew me as a bass player. They had no idea I was a singer.
Right. Hey,
it was hilarious.
Did any of them hate on you? Like, man, how you going to give up the bass? What's wrong with you? You know, did they get you like that? Because they did that to me as a jazz drummer. They said that I sold out and started playing R&B.
The purists.
They never said that because I never gave up the bass. I mean, when they would call me to still do gigs with them, I would still go do them on the bass.
Because I'm
a jazz musician. I mean, there's nothing I can do about that.
That's not going to change. right. That's in
so,
your blood, right?
You know. Yeah, it's in my blood. So, even to this day, I mean, special situations, I'll go and play bass. Like, for example, I'm doing a show with Kirk Whalum and Bob James. We did a record called Joined at the Hip. And it was me on bass, of course, Bob, Kirk, and Billy Kilson and Jeff Gullum. And we do
Kurt
a few Whalum. Dates every year, you know, and I'm playing bass in that group.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Who's playing drums?
This guy.
Who's playing drums?
There you go.
Who's playing drums? Come on, tell me who's playing drums.
Billy Kilson. Billy Kilson usually plays plays drums, but
look at him.
Do you know my homeboy? Do you know my homeboy from Philly, Billy Johnson?
I do not.
You don't know Billy Johnson? Oh man, you would love Billy Johnson. He played with Santana. A lot of groups. I'll tell you about it in a minute. But yeah, he's a bad dude out of Philly. Anyway, I have more questions for you from overseas. This next question is this one. It says, "Is it true that you sang before you spoke? And did anyone tell you what you were singing?" Did you tell people that? Is that one of your stories?
My father started me off very early, and I was probably singing before I could speak. But you know, interestingly enough, and I may have mentioned that before, but in terms of telling me what I was singing, I don't know about that one, because in my household it was only gospel music. Until I left home is when I started branching out doing other things.
All right.
Wow.
So I want to ask you a little bit about you and I talked last night, and you were sharing something, a very important story. To your heart, and this song, "How Do You Heal a Broken Heart." Can you tell us about the story behind that song?
Sure. There's a very famous songwriter by the name of Carol Bear Sayer, who was married to Burt Bacharach, and God rest his soul, who just recently passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you know, she didn't know who I was, but someone from the record company sent her a few songs for my Sincerely Yours project and asked if she would be willing to write with me. Somehow, she agreed to do it. So I flew to California. I go to her house, and I'm escorted to her music room, where there's a beautiful 9-foot Steinway grand piano. In walks Carol, and she says to me, and I'm 21 at the time, or 22, no, 22 at the time, I think. So in walks Carol, and she says to me, "Do you play piano?" And I said, "Well, I noodle just a little." And she said, "Well, why don't you sit over there?" So I sit behind the piano, and the first thing I started playing was the intro to "How Do You Heal a Broken Heart?" And she said, "I really like that." She said, "What is that?" I said, "I'm making it up right now." She said, "Can we write a song to it?" I said, "Absolutely." So she grabbed her pad, and first thing she wrote down were these lyrics: "I can't believe what I just heard. Could it be true? Are you the girl I thought I knew?" I said, "I love that." So I put a melody to it, and we wrote that song in 4 hours, and we were done in 4 hours. And,
wow.
And I haven't seen her or talked to her since we finished writing that song.
and
become like a super hit in Africa and in the Philippines. I mean, it's one of my most popular songs.
Wow. Man, so does that mean you're going to the Philippines?
I am. And actually, I have another story to tell you about Africa, but maybe I'll tell it after you play the song.
Okay. All right, cool. And before I play the song, who was this lady, this very famous lady, affiliated with?
Oh, she was affiliated with Burt Bacharach. She was married to him, and they wrote so many hits. I mean, if you get a chance, Google her name and just see how many songs she's written over the years for some of the biggest stars out there, for the Barbra Streisands of the world, for the Dionne Warwicks of the world. I mean, her resume is just, I mean, it's ridiculous how many songs she's written over her career.
My. All right, so we're going to take a music break. We're going to take a listen to Chris Walker, "How Do You Heal a Broken Heart?" And we'll be right back.
Could it be true? someone who promised me love. Where did it go? Does anybody ever know? How do you heal a broken heart that feels like it will never be this much again? Oh, no, no, I just can't let go. How do you heal a broken heart that feels
back and talk about Al Jarreau, but I'd gone to South Africa with Al, has to be maybe 20 years ago now, and we're in soundcheck. They invite maybe 200 students, people, to attend the soundcheck and to do a Q&A afterwards. So after we finish our sound check, Al turns to the band, and I was his music director at the time, and he says to me, why don't you guys stay and answer some of these questions with me? So, of course, we said, okay. So he's going down the line, and as he's introducing each one of us, and when he said my name, the people in the audience ran to the stage and started yelling, Chris Walker, sing to me, sing to me. And I'm looking at them like, how do you know who I am? And Al is puzzled as well. He's looking like, yeah, how do they know who you are?
right.
But so it turns out I had number one songs in Africa and didn't know it. And that was one of the songs, along with a bunch of other ones. So anyway, so about 8 years ago, I get a call out of the blue from a guy, and he says, hey, man, I'm looking for Chris Walker, a guy I didn't know who lived in New Orleans. He said, there's a promoter in South Africa who's looking for you. I said, oh, really? Okay. So the guy said, they want you to come and perform with your band. And, you know, how much is it going to cost? So I gave the guy a number, thinking he was just going to say, okay, never mind. Well, he called me back 2 days later and said, they said, okay. So long story short, I go to South Africa. I take a total of 13 people, my full band, you know, and everybody, and perform to an audience of 12,000 people, a sold-out show, my first time in South Africa, which totally shocked me. I was like, what? So I've been going back to South Africa pretty much every year doing sold-out concerts.
Oh,
so
my God.
It's amazing how God has, I mean, he just opened up that window of opportunity, man, for me to go there and to be able to experience what he had waiting for me all these years later.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. I love South Africa. Go ahead.
It's just the fact, you know, the song that we just played, of course, How Do You Heal a Broken Heart? That's from the Sincerely Yours album. And the crazy part about that the Sincerely Yours album got a lot of buzz down there in Africa, man. And again, it was just, to me, and I always kind of use that kind of, I try not to do it too much, but that whole litmus test, where it's social media, pre-social media, post-social media, just the fact that 93, you know, before social media, having that big an impact, especially with that song and that album itself, man, it's just a testament of who you are. And just through the graces of God, it's just how talented you are, and the fact that your voice and your music have pretty much spanned the globe. And again, man, kudos to you on that.
Amen.
Well, thank you, man. And here's something else I will share. I found out that there was a gentleman by the name of Eddie Zondi, who was like is like a legend in South Africa with Metro FM, and he somehow got a hold of my Sincerely Yours CD. I don't know how, and he played it in heavy rotation for years. And before I got there, I was supposed to meet him. And he passed away two months before I arrived.
Oh, man.
So, man, and his widow, she actually drove 7 hours to one of my concerts to meet me and the gentleman that took his place on air. And when I met her, man, it was as if she already knew me. She started crying because she said, Eddie talked about you and he played your music so much. And so I've become friends with Eddie's family, and I stay in touch with them on a regular basis.
That's an amazing story, man. You know, I've been in South Africa. I went out there to produce, and I did the Serafina movie as well. And it was just an amazing time out there for me, just being around our people. I started seeing people that looked like people I knew, and I was like, whoa. And I was like, and so, but this, the thing is that I truly and really felt like I was home. Like I was in the motherland. I was like,
yeah.
So this is what they've been telling me all these years, and finally I'm here, and I can feel it, and I can see it, and those people are so different, especially that you know, the funny thing, Chris, you know, you coming from, you know, the United States and being over there, they probably put you in a category of colored as opposed to black, right?
Well, no, I think I'm considered black. I'm assuming they treated me.
So no one asked you, you know, if you were colored or black. They just treated you how, yeah, because you're a star, and so they probably just, you know, it is what it is. But you know, for me as a producer, you know, I'm, you know, when I was there, I'm in the studio, and the people out there that were cleaning, the maintenance people that was taking care of the studio, they were like, so can you tell us something? I was like, yeah. And he's like, do you consider yourself black or colored? And I go, please don't ever say colored. Don't say colored when you come to the United States. If you do, I'm a black man.
This is an apartheid thing, man.
Yeah, because they divided. Yeah, they divided us, and you know, to win elections, and so, and right. They gave the, you know, so. But anyway, so I was just wondering, because they were like, you know, it could be very disrespectful, but when they heard your voice, they're like, oh, you're American, and then they put you on that other pedestal, and so I was just wondering if you had that experience when you were there. But isn't it beautiful? Mm-hmm. The people's hearts—they're so just
oh,
so
man.
Genuine. So genuine.
And their appreciation for music is on a whole, it's a whole deeper level, man. I mean, a DJ can do, DJs do concerts there, and it's like people are responding as if artists are on stage performing.
I know.
I mean, they're into the music that deeply. I mean, I love it, man. And, you know, to see people in the concerts singing along with every song, man, it's just touching. It's touching.
So what's your favorite city? Do you remember the name of your favorite city out there? I mean, and maybe you might not want to say it since you're always there.
Well, no. I mean, I love Johannesburg. I love Pietermaritzburg, Richards Bay. I mean, all of the places where I've performed, I love them all. I mean, you know.
Okay. Have you been
Cape Town?
Cape Town?
I actually haven't performed in Cape Town, but I've been there.
Okay. And someone did ask me about you performing in Pretoria. So you performed in Pretoria, right? That's the capital.
Yes, I performed in Pretoria. I think it was 2019. That was 2019. And actually, it was for a tribute concert to Eddie Zombie.
Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, nice. Yes, nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. John, go ahead.
Well, no, I wanted to kind of just rewind just a quick second, and I don't want to hold you up too long, but because, you know, Wardell had kind of just joked with me about, yeah, you being 17 years old when the first time came out. This. I know you talked about, you know, Regina Bell kind of pushing you into that forefront to sing and whatnot. Talk about that transition, you know, being the musical director for her, going into that first album first time, and to me one of the most positive songs you've done. To me, Take Time is the, I'm gonna talk about that in a second, but I just want to just talk about the fact that the transition, how was that, or was it a hard transition, or you kind of just flowed into it? Just talk a little bit about that.
Well, surprisingly enough, Regina was very supportive, but you know, she actually fired me from her band, and not because I did anything wrong, because she came to me one day and she said, you don't need to be here anymore. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, you've outgrown the gig. People need to know you as a solo artist. So, and after she fired me, she invited me back to be a guest and allowed me to sing like two or three songs from my own project in her show.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's nice.
So. And actually, we're still friends to this day. And as a matter of fact, I have a show coming up that I'm doing February 24th in Columbia, South Carolina. It's a tribute to Al Jarreau show featuring Regina Bell, Bob James, and Kirk Whalen, and yours truly. So I'm still in touch with her, man. And but yeah, she fired me, and the transition, it wasn't a difficult transition because I think I was kind of ready for it in a sense. I was very shy and used to hiding behind the bass, so it was a bit of a challenge being out front as a lead singer, knowing what to do and how to handle an audience and those sorts of things. But after I started doing it for a little while, it became kind of second nature because I watched Regina do it for years, and then one year we toured with Frankie Beverly for almost a year. I would watch his show every night, and so So I had a lot of people to study to kind of prepare me for it, you know?
Right, okay. Well, that's, you know, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, you know, it sounds like a bad thing, but it ended up being a beautiful thing because she's just basically, you know, pushing you out there to go do your thing. And when you first said that, I was like, what? So
yeah,
just the word fired. The word fired has like that negative connotation to it, but the fact that it was a blessing in disguise, you know, the fact that it got you out there. And to me, and again, take time. First of all, I still play that song. When I'm having one of those moments where I'm feeling kind of very melancholy, I play that song. To me, at that time when it came out, you know, I was a kid of the New Jack Swing era. You know, you love the New Jack Swing, but you could also hear the gospel roots to it. And was that your intention? And this is from my perspective. Was that your intention to make that song that way? Or what was your whole process in that song?
Actually, at the time, I was dating a young lady. And I was young, man. This is before I had a record deal, actually. And something happened in the relationship and that sparked that song, for me to write that song and inspired that song. And I wrote it actually when I was living with Ornette Coleman. I would write my songs out and chart them with a pencil. So one day I'm in the apartment scoring Take Time before I ever had a record deal, and Ornette Coleman walked in, and I quickly closed the tablet because I thought he would be upset that I wasn't working on his music or high melodic music. And he said, "Hey, what you working on?" And he said, "Let me see." So I opened it up, and he grabbed his horn and started playing the notes that I had on the page. And he said, "Man, I really like that." He said, you should finish that song and develop it." He said, that sounds great." And that's when, you know, so his encouragement, saying, "Hey, man, go ahead, it sounds great," encouraged me to continue on and write and finish writing that song. And then when it came out, it surprised everybody, the record company, even me, when it crossed over to the pop charts and went to like top 30 on the pop charts.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful, man.
Thank you, man. Wow, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate that.
Okay, we're getting short here, and I just want to real quickly cut a couple things. Can you just share a little bit about your connection with the Diabetes Association and the project DocRest?
Oh, you mean DocFest.
DocFest, I'm sorry.
Yes, well, DocFest is a nonprofit organization that I co-founded to celebrate my high school teacher, who I'm still in touch with and communicate with on a regular basis. And basically what we do is raise scholarship funds for deserving jazz students going to college. And the corpus now is probably over a little over 250,000. When we started, it was 25,000. And we primarily just raise funds from doing concerts. I mean, Al Jarreau has been one of our featured artists. Melissa Manchester was this year. We've had Everett Harp and a number of different people. And basically, we all volunteer. All of the people and board members associated with DocFest, we all volunteer. So it's definitely something that I wanted to do for my high school teacher, for his legacy. And actually, he's turning 81 this year. And in terms of the American Diabetes Association, I had a lady that was very instrumental in my life growing up, and she helped raise me, lived on my street, and she suffered from diabetes and had both of her legs amputated at one point. So it's something else I wanted to do is just give back to the American Diabetes Association. So I've done a number of concerts where all of the proceeds went to the American Diabetes Association. So
that's beautiful.
It's all about giving back.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Now, listen. I want to play your some of your other stuff too, real quickly. Because I got a couple things here because I love you, and then the song Morning that you dedicated to one of your you were just talking Al Jarreau. So can you talk a little bit about the song Because I Love You? That's your new project, right?
Yes, that's a new single that I recently released that features Dave Cobb. And it's basically a love song, just a beautiful love song. And I'm a balladeer at heart and a romantic at heart. So that particular song speaks to, you know, loving a woman or loving a man or whoever you love.
Right.
And it's my prayer that every woman on the planet hear these lyrics at some point in their lives from their significant other.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, as I'm playing this, I'm going to play this, but when we come back, can you please let people know how they can, you know, get a copy, support your career, you know, your website and information and stuff, and, you know, how they can follow you and keep up with you, okay? And then we'll let you go. But I'm so grateful for this time with you, man, and appreciate, you know, just all the amazing things that you're doing.
My pleasure. Absolutely, my pleasure.
Okay, cool. Chris, we'll be right back. This is his latest single called Because I Love You on Solar Records Radio. We'll be right back.
Have you ever seen a mountain much too high to climb? On a gentle rain, kiss a flower each time it cries. Have you felt the warmth of love's embrace within your heart? A feeling that will never change, even though we're far apart. Because I will show you how much I adore you forever, for always, eternity. Have you ever seen a rainbow stretched across the sky? Felt the breeze from an ocean with birds flying high. Have you walked the lonely road of love within your heart? An emptiness that never sleeps, will this pain ever end? Because always
you did that, brother. You laid that one out. Man, man,
indeed.
Oh, man.
Indeed.
And, you know, there was a song that by New Birth, you know, I'm going way back, called Wildflower that I always want. I want the ladies to hear the lyrics to that, too. So when you said that, I was like, oh, yeah. As I had to, you know, I was enjoying the lyrics because it's so important that we let our ladies know that, you know, they're loved and that we care about you.
Right.
But we know you go through a lot. We know you experience a lot. And it's so it's just nice to be able to love them through songs. And, you know, so thank you for, you know, your contribution to that, I really appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So can you share how your website information, how people can follow you and your career and you know, support your career?
Yes, my website is Chris Walker's with an S, WALKERS music at .com, chriswalkersmusic.com. And on social media, you know, Facebook is Chris Walker Music, and on Instagram is Chris Walker Chat, CHAT. So there are many ways to link up with me, or you can just let me give you my cell phone number so you can just call me. No, I'm just kidding.
555-555.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah,
guy.
No, there are ways to link up with me, though.
There you go. There you go. That's cool. That's cool. All right, man. So, is there anything you would like to say to the listeners, your fans, before we get out of here?
Yes. Lastly, I would just like to say, if you're a musician, you're a singer, you're in the industry, don't stop dreaming or believing that God can open a door for you. Although you may not see all the results that you want right now, but just stay the course and keep your eye on the prize, because God can do anything and open any door.
Mm-hmm. At any time.
Amen.
Don?
Yes, indeed. No, man, again, it's been a pleasure to get a chance to meet the band behind these songs that I grew up listening to and continue to listen to. Make it seem like I grew up listening to, you're up there in age, but no, it's not. It's nothing like that. It's just the fact that we're all seasoned in our own way. But again, thank you for the memory. Thank you for the music. And again, continued success to you. And again, thank you for blessing the phone lines. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, brother. In closing, we're going to play Morning. Can you tell us a little bit about this song before I play it?
Morning, of course. I did a project when Al Jarreau passed away. I was his music director for many, many years, worked with him for 20 plus years. And put this tribute project together for him. And, of course, this is one of my favorite songs from that project entitled Morning.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a blessed one. And thank you so much for everything you do. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Please come back.
My heart will soar with love that's rare and real. My smiling face will feel every cloud. Then higher.
feel the warmth of his hand in mine.
turn to him and he kisses me. There with the beat of the rain on the leaves, softly he breathes and I close my eyes, sharing our love under the
My. Don't you just love it? I just love good music. And what a blessing. That was Rick Potter. And that's just a beautiful song called Love's. Wow, why can't I even get the word? And I know what that song is because I just posted it. But anyway, it is just a beautiful serenade, Love's Serenade, and it's just a beautiful song. And then the song before that I played you was by Sharon Marie Klein. Now Sharon Marie Klein is supposed to be coming on soon. We're going to have her back. She was amazing when she was here before, and so we look forward to her coming back. And that song was called In the Rain, Laughter in the Rain. And I just got to say, I really enjoyed my conversation with our guest today, Mr. Christopher Walker. But he'd go by Chris, and my brother Don Fleming. So that was a very nice conversation, Don. Thank you so much. Man, 17, dude? I can't believe it. You were 17. He's such a baby. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's my little brother. So, Don.
Oh, man.
It's all
yes,
good.
Sir.
What's
it
the
is,
word?
It is, man. I am I'm ecstatic today because, and again, shout out to Greg for making it possible to have this interview and get a chance to talk to him. And I appreciate you when you talked to him last night. I really appreciate you mentioning me. I loved it. You know, I like to be recognized every now and then. You know, brother feels down sometimes. But I'm glad. No, but no, seriously, thank you for letting me be a part of the interview, man. I appreciate it.
Man, let you be a part. You are a part. You are a part, my brother. So, and that was really cool. I'm looking forward. This is the funniest thing is, I'm anticipating. I don't know why I can't talk today. But there's, you know, sometimes my tongue gets tied and maybe lazy or whatever. But I'm looking forward to your block, what you're going to play. That's so weird. I'm a fan of yours, Don.
Looking forward to my block. Okay. Well, cool. You know what? It's about what we're looking at. We have about another 44 minutes left of the show. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Every Wednesday, it is Indie Blues and All That Jazz Wednesday, every Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, for the first hour, we had the pleasure of having Mr. Chris Walker on. And again, definitely got to get him on my show. Definitely got to get him on my show. But I'm going to go ahead and start this block off. I'm a big fan of Shantae Moore. And, of course, Shantae Moore, shout out to her. She just got married. She just married, if I'm not mistaken, Stephen Hill. He was the former vice president of BET. And I want to take you guys all the way back, of course, going back to her jazz roots and her indie roots. But, this, of course, this is from 1992 and one of my favorite songs that she did. This is called Love's Taken Over. Give me a little, it's kind of indie-ish. Let's keep it real. It's Shantae Moore. Love's Taking Over. Keep it locked right here. So long, Rick. It's radio. See what else got me not talking. You guys keep it locked right here.
Love and me. Bye. you do, girl.
Take that, show me, love me.
Radio, Wardell Potts Jr. I'm Don Fleming. Of course, that was music from featured artist, today's featured artist, of course, Mr. Chris Walker. That was the song that I was raving about from his first time album from 1991, early 1992. That was Take Time. Very inspirational song. I love it, love it, love it. Of course, before that, from 1981, music from Lee Ritenour, Is It You? And of course, started off the block. A little Dante Moore, Love's Taken Over, from the year 1992. We've got about 27 minutes left of the show again. It's a pleasure doing this block, man. I really enjoyed it. And, of course, I had to hook that Take Time up, man. I love that. Even a little the rap in the middle of that. That was cute.
Yeah. That was awesome. Did you get my message?
I did.
Okay, cool.
I think now, I played that last week, but it's all good, though. I might be able to look that up.
Well, that's probably why. Because they heard it like, oh, man, play that one again. So, Mr. Fleming, you know how you get it going, brother. I love the block. You always do it right, man. God bless you. Thank you.
I really appreciate that block.
And so, you guys, hey, don't forget tomorrow, Throwback Thursday. Woo! Don was 17 when this came out. Throwback Thursday, guys.
And Manish.
Do y'all know what that means, Manish? Tell them what it means, Don. For our friends overseas,
being Manish, being kind of mischievous in a hormonal way.
Fresh.
Yeah.
That's a fresh little boy. Yeah.
Exactly.
So he was a fresh little boy. He was chasing those girls around.
Oh, yeah.
I was bad, too. I think it's not really bad. If you just think it for the mentality of a child, our hormone, we don't know. The stuff is happening to us. We're just responding. We're reacting to what's happening in our bodies. It's like, I like that girl all of a sudden. I remember I couldn't stand girls at one point. Well, I can't remember that, but, most kids, do you like it? No, I don't like this. When they're real little, they don't like her. But when they get a certain age, all of a sudden their transition comes in, and then they start blushing. I don't want to talk about it. I remember when I got into seventh grade, and this girl was so cute, and I saw her shoestrings were untied. And I just stopped her in the hallway. I said, hold it, wait 1 second. And I got down on my knees and I tied her shoestring for her. And I stood up and I said, okay. She says, thank you. I almost passed out. I almost went back to the floor. It was just so nice to get her to talk to me. But, we just do things. We're just reacting to what's happening inside of our bodies and our minds. And so... But I was in the seventh grade, but when I got in the eighth grade is when I learned how to kiss. They told me the girl.
You get a little too detailed right now.
I learned
24 minutes left of the show. What are you going to do, man? Do you have this block?
All right, this is John. I need some help on this.
Love me.
That's a beautiful, beautiful song right there, Why, by LaBelle. And my, I truly enjoy that brother and his skills. He's been blessing us for a long time. And then before that, I played Real to Real, Love Me Like This. That's my homeboys, right? Those are the guys from, you know, back at Silver Spoon Productions, Leon Silvers. And but they didn't end up signing with Solar. They signed with Arista Records, and so with and they only put out two songs, and they have a whole album worth of amazing music. So they're in the process of trying to get that release so that they can just release it and put it out themselves, the rest of the album, because it's amazing. And so many other producers and writers were talking about that. And then before that, Greg, did you post I Can't Help It? Okay, I Can't Help It. That's my song I wrote. I Can't Help It was so much fun with Joey Diggs, featuring Joey Diggs as the lead vocalist on that song. And so you're asking about how did the bridge come together. You know, we did that so many years ago, I can't really remember the details of it, but I just remember just having an amazing time writing with my friend. And we were just, and not Joey, but my co-writer, trying to think of her name right now. She would kill me if it, but anyway, she's back in Cali. And we had a great time writing together. And it was just one of those things, you know, you just feel it. And for me to create a bridge, a lot of times, because I did the music, right? So what happened is that a lot of times when I needed to create a bridge, I would just, I find that first chord that I want to go to coming from the last chord in the chorus, right? And that first chord needs to lift. It needs to lift it and take you somewhere. So I start looking for that chord. And once I find that first chord that lifts, then I start the chord. So that'll be the first chord in the bridge. Then I start to build on that and then bring it back. You have to bring it back at the very end back to the chorus. And so you got to make sure that it meets right into the first chord on the chorus. And so that's, you know, interesting because sometimes that can be challenging getting back to where you started from. And so, but I like it as well. So thank you for the question. Anyway, guys, don't forget tomorrow, Throwback Thursday on Solar Records Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune in and hang out with us as we take you back down memory lane together on Solar Records Radio. Shout out to all my friends, Greg. Thank you, buddy, for everything. And we are just really blessed with our team here at Solar Records Radio. So really love all you guys and all the things you do for us here at Solar. Don't forget to go to our website. We're working on it. So if you have any suggestions, any ideas, leave us a message, solarrecordsradio.com. And we do appreciate you guys and everything that you do. As we know, you have many choices. And to hang out with us is for us a blessing. So thank you. Thank you for doing that with us. All right. Anyway, you guys, take care and have a beautiful rest of your evening, afternoon, or wherever you may be in the world. Just enjoy, and God bless you guys so much. Thanks for everything. Good night, and we'll catch you later, Gator. Good night.
unit of society. Parents teaching their children to share and respect each other in their family and the human family. To embrace the beauty in all people, regardless of their race, creed, or color. Oh, what a wonderful family.